Welcome to Well-Versed, where we bring biblical principles of governance to governmental leaders and you. This is the Well-Versed podcast.
We're going to go right to our guest. I'm excited to introduce to you somebody who you've already met on the World Prayer Network call more than once. He's back with us again, Tim Barton. We've had David Barton, his father, on a number of times, and Tim Barton's been with us as well. This is a dynamic duo. This father and son team is one of the finest anywhere. The Barton family are just got to be the favorites of all of us. Tim Barton, we're so glad to have you back on with us. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Okay, you've got a major event coming in the U.S. Capitol for pastors. And if I'm not mistaken, you guys have done this. You've taken pastors groups, maybe as many as 100 of them that have gone?
Yes, sir. We've done this for decades, and we normally do two, three, or four of these a year, and that we personally host, and then we work with other pastors' groups and pastors' networks to do similar ones for them. So we have done an awful lot of these, and I think it's one of the most special things that we do at Wall Builders. You know, Brother Jim, you know, as you've partnered with us, and we've worked in a lot of ways together for a long time, but our goal really is to teach American history and to work to restore a biblical foundation. As we're trying to save freedom in America, the founding fathers knew freedom only works if you have the religious, the moral underpinnings. So if we don't get the church involved, freedom will not last in America. We have to have that Christian foundation. And one of the things we wanted to do to help pastors make the connection and culture that there's been a disconnect between pastors engaging in a lot of the current topics, the what would be considered the political issues of the day, we bring them to Washington, D.C., and on Tuesday night, we go on a private Capitol tour. We call it a spiritual heritage tour of the U.S. Capitol. We have a congressman who is a sponsor for us, so we get to go to any room we want to go in that night. It's largely an empty Capitol. We're by ourselves. We go room to room, and my dad and I just take time in each room. And we tell a lot of the stories about what happened in those rooms. And if anybody's been to the Capitol, they know there's paintings everywhere. There's statues, there's sculptures all over the place. We will take time and we'll tell the stories of the people in those paintings, of the events those paintings are depicting, of who are the individuals that are highlighted in this statue, in these sculptures. Because frankly, most people just don't understand the history of America. And if they did, they would recognize that the greatest influence on our nation, unquestionably, was the influence of Christianity and specifically the Bible. And we want pastors to recognize, when you look at America, that the nation that's enjoyed more freedom, stability, prosperity than anywhere else in the history of the world, the reason we've been so successful is because of the foundation that this nation was birthed on. Not a perfect foundation, not perfect people, but people who understood without God's involvement, without the impact and influence of the Bible, we would not enjoy the blessings of God, and we would not succeed in what we were trying to do. So Tuesday night, we walk pastors through, and at Wall Builders, we have an incredible collection of original documents from American history. So as we're pointing at paintings and saying, this is so-and-so from this event, we'll hold up a document from that event, from that person to connect the dots. This is what they're talking about right here. So we're able to encourage people, not just take our word for it, but to see these documents for themselves. So it's a very interactive, hands-on, private tour of the U.S. Capitol. And then on Wednesday, we do a briefing where we have some of our friends who are in Congress, some of our friends who are in the Senate, and they'll come over and give us 15, 20 minutes of their day to connect with these pastors and these ministry leaders and let them know what's been going on in their committees, what's been going on in their lives, what are things these pastors can pray for. And most pastors just have no idea who these individuals are. But when we talk about the U.S. House, there's 435 members of the U.S. House. There's 100 members of the U.S. Senate. And most Americans could probably name five or six congressmen, right? Four or five senators. We don't know who they are. And therefore, we really don't have perspective of how many incredible godly leaders we have that are fighting for the right things. They're just genuinely and generally outnumbered. And that's why it doesn't feel like maybe we're accomplishing as many of the biblical constitutional things we want to accomplish, but we want pastors to connect with some of these people. So they'll have faces with names to know who they can pray for, to be connected with, but also recognize that part of part of what we see and read in scripture, when the Bible tells us that righteousness exalts a nation, well, how do you get a nation to be righteous? It's through public policy. Well, how do you get righteous public policy? It's by having godly leaders, which Proverbs gives us more guidance, that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. If you want to have righteous policy, you need godly leaders. And when you have godly leaders, then the nation can rejoice. When you have wicked rulers, the nation groans. And I don't think anybody needs a hearing aid to recognize all the groaning happening in our nation today. So our pastor's briefing is designed to help connect pastors to the history of this nation and to some of the incredible leaders we have in DC right now, so they can know who to pray for. And they can even ask questions. What's going on, whether it be immigration or Ukraine? There's some big issues happening right now. They can ask questions, and these congressmen and senators are very open to it. They want to help connect dots for pastors. And then we're going to encourage and challenge pastors when they go back to be part of the solution in culture. Part of how we restore righteousness in this land is we need to get more involved in our local community. When we look at things happening in public schools and see this crazy curriculum, these crazy teachers that are doing things in public schools, how does that happen? It's because the school boards allowed it. Well, how do we change the school board? Usually with a couple hundred votes, sometimes not even that many. You can elect new school board members and you can change the board. You can change everything that happens for every one of those kids in those public schools. We want to walk pastors through the process of how they can get involved and be an influence and a different maker in their community. As I mentioned already, Dr. Garlow, I think this is one of the most important and one of the best things that we do at Wall Builders is helping pastors connect these dots. And this is open for not just the lead pastor, the senior pastor, the teaching pastor. This is open for all ministry leaders. So you could be a worship leader. You could be the youth pastor. Maybe it's somebody that has their own ministry, whatever that might be, however that looks. We want ministry leaders and pastors to come. Anybody that is involved in the ministry that has an influence, we want them to come and see these connections, learn this history, and then encourage them to go back and be part of the solution of restoring a biblical foundation in America.
Today, folks, I recognize all of you listening are not necessarily pastors or ministry leaders per se, but get your pastor or contact a ministry leader, maybe somebody head of a pro-life ministry or something, or your pastor, your youth pastor, your children's pastor. And get them on this. Now, folks, it costs a huge amount once they get there. The cost of registering for this conference is so much. How much is it, Tim?
Well, we charge a whole bunch of nothing. This is totally free. We don't charge anything for this. And it doesn't mean there's not costs associated with it. But we tell our donors, we want to do things that make a difference in culture. And we want to remove any burden, any hindrance that a pastor might say, man, I can't afford that. Now, I mean, pastors, they're still going to have to pay their way to get there. But we're not going to charge them. We're not going to make any profit off of this. We want them to come for free. And Brother Garlow, you make a great point. Maybe everybody listening is not a pastor, but I know I'm on the prayer network. And so even if you're not a ministry leader, this is something we should be actively praying for these pastors to have the courage to stand up, to be the leaders they need to be. And so I would ask that this is April 16th and 17th. We do one in September as well. But April 16th and 17th, we will be having pastors, more than 100 pastors up in Washington, D.C., and we'll be going through this process. If you are not a pastor ministry leader and therefore maybe right, you're not quite qualified to be on this event, you can still join us in praying for this, praying for these pastors that God would speak to them, that they would get a revelation from God while they are there. And therefore, when they go back, they would have a new courage and a new boldness to make a difference in their community. One of the things that we encourage in these pastors' conferences is our name Wall Builders comes from the Bible book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the one that saw the Jerusalem had been destroyed. The walls had been torn down. He saw the destruction. He wanted to go rebuild the walls. And people thought it was an impossible task. They got the job done in 52 days. And there's so many interesting aspects of the story. But what's worth noting is Nehemiah's strategy wasn't to have one building team that went all the way around the wall to build it. His strategy was, he said, everybody come live in the city, right? Wherever your house is, spread out, and then everybody rebuild your own area. And when everybody takes care of their own area, the miracle happens. They rebuild the wall in 52 days. Well, if you think about that strategically, in every single community, there are churches. And if the pastors in every church said, we're going to take care of our community, we're going to take care of the kids in these schools, we're going to take care of our city council, we're going to take care of this county. If every church took care of their community, every community in America would be taken care of, and we could solve so many of these problems so much more quickly than looking for some specialized team, right? Some specialized leader or pastor, or maybe even a federal government solution. We don't need that. We need the local church to get involved in their area and solve these problems. And that's part of the encouragement. So part of the prayer request would be that as these pastors come and they're going to hear all this information, they're going to be encouraged, inspired, challenged, motivated, I would ask that you would join us in prayer, that God would speak specifically to them. They would get a call, a burden. They would go back and be the difference maker in their community. And Dr. Garler, as you mentioned, this costs absolutely nothing for pastors to attend. They just have to go to the Wall Builder website and sign up to be a participant in this.
The dates are April 16 and 17, and that's a Tuesday, Wednesday. Do they need to fly in on Monday night, be there Monday night?
So we had tried to do this where they can come in. Now you might miss your midweek service, but where you can actually fly in Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon, because we don't start until Tuesday evening. And then we finish Wednesday around 4:30-ish on Eastern Coast time. And so the idea is that they can catch a flight out Wednesday night. So you can fly in Tuesday morning, fly out Wednesday night. So really it's just 2 days, the middle of the week. So if these pastors had a long weekend service and they're worn out, Monday you can rest, Tuesday jump on that plane, come be with us Tuesday and Wednesday. Wednesday night, you can fly back. You still have time on Thursday and Friday, Saturday, prepare for the next weekend service. That's kind of our idea behind why we do it. But it's Tuesday night, then it's Wednesday through the afternoon, and we're done late Wednesday afternoon.
So their registration is covered? Is there a hotel even covered too?
So we don't cover hotels because we allow them, and we do have some hotel recommendations. You know, from having been in DC, it can be a challenge in DC, and things are not always cost effective and efficient. Things are pretty expensive in DC. So we give a few recommendations of places even outside the city where they can jump on the metro, or they can take a cab or Uber in. So we don't cover hotels, we don't cover flights, but we don't charge anything for the conference. We do cater and lunch on Wednesday.
That is excellent. Folks, I have been with the Bartons in tours to the Capitol. First, it was with David, his father, and then later with Tim. I remember the first time I watched Tim give the tour, and I thought, went through my mind, the old premise, you can give a son a ministry, but you can't give him an anointing. And so I thought, well, this could be interesting. I've never seen Tim do this. Tim was as good as his dad, and that's as good as it gets. But folks, it's worth going on this tour, even if all you went to was the rotunda, the paintings in the rotunda. When Tim gives an explanation, or Dave, whoever gives them, that right there is one of the most gripping moments of touring the Capitol. And then there's going down the crypt, and you see some of the statues there. And then there's going right next to the rotunda, Statuary Hall. And then you get to go to the old Senate chambers. This is an exceptional tour. It's an after-hours tour, so a member of Congress is there as a sponsor, and lets you go wherever you want to. And it's quite amazing. So, and when he spoke about having original documents, Tim, in your library there in Aledo, Texas, Wall Builders, how many documents, original documents before 1812, you have there?
So we have, we estimate over 100,000 documents that are either the only original, or they're a copy of the original. So for example, like if we look at something like Governor William Bradford's journal, well, the journal was printed in 1855 once they had discovered the original. They and I don't mean to get in the weeds on this, but just connection. So the original was printed in 1855. They printed that copy from the original. Well, we have that first printing. So technically it's 1855, but it's of the original. So it's a copy of the original. Bradford Journal was printed in 1855. So we have either the original or the copy of the original, more than 100,000 from before 1812. So as we talk about American history, that this is not some collegiate course where some professor says, I have a PhD, take my word on this. We are literally telling people, please don't just take our word on this. This is a document, right? You please read for yourself. Know that we're not just promoting an ideology and agenda right now, which happens so much in the modern narratives. We want people to actually ask questions. Is that true? How do we know? Because Dr. Garlow, you're so good at this, at helping navigate people through asking questions. But in our modern culture, we don't do a good job of having people be pursuers of truth, meaning we have to be skeptical of what we hear until we have found that it is actually true. we know that truth is not insecure. Truth doesn't mind being questioned. It's only lies that have to prevent the presentation of the truth. Therefore, it doesn't want to be questioned. When we hear these narratives, well, just trust the science. That's a pretty scary narrative for lots of reasons, but it's also very anti-scientific. The idea behind truth is that you should challenge and question it to know, is it actually true? And I'm not saying this as a skeptic or negative or critical. God's not insecure. God's not scared of us asking questions. And some of the greatest apologists in the last 100 years, whether it be a C.S. Lewis, a Joshua McDowell, Lee Strobel, we can go through that list. They were all skeptics who asked questions in pursuit of truth. And this is what we encourage people. And the reason that we collect original documents is we want to tell people, stop just taking somebody else's word for what actually happened. Let's go a little deeper and let's find the truth so that we can't be misled by the lies in culture. And that's what we do on these Capitol tours. We'll pull out the original documents. We'll show what it says, where it says it, and we'll tell those full stories with the documents to give a little more credibility to those stories.
Let me tell you a fun story. Tim, I'm not sure. I think you were there in Alito when this happened, but I was in actually Dallas-Fort Worth with a guy who was being very critical of David Martin. Said, well, that book he wrote, that's not true. That's not true. I said, okay, let's call Dave. Let's go drive out to Alito. You tell that to Dave. He says, okay. So we drove out to Alito, Texas, met with Dave Martin. And this guy said, well, that wasn't true when you said that. Dave says to his staff, can you get the document such and such? They brought, opened up the document, and there it was, the original document. Well, that wasn't true, something else. And they sat there, we sat there for the next 2 hours, and they said, can you get the original document? And he bring one after another and opened them to the page and showed them where he took them from the original documents. In my graduate work, if you had an original document, that was always more valuable than a secondary and a tertiary document. You want to be with the original if you could. Most people that are writing these days about the history of America, they're writing from secondary, tertiary, and beyond sources. The Bartons have original sources. He says over 100,000. I think I've heard it's as high as 130,000. I don't know the number. You would know, but it's a lot of documents there. So, Tim, one more time, April 16th, that's a Tuesday and a Wednesday. They fly in on Wednesday, Tuesday evening. They can fly out on Wednesday evening, so only one overnight. So, If you get there, your registration is covered. It's paid for. And let me tell you, this is a rich experience. So take advantage of this. Let's do a little role playing right now. Let's suppose somebody listening on the World Prayer Network says, man, I want a pastor to go. This would be great. So he goes to his pastor and I'm going to be the pastor right now. The guys just come and said, hey, we want you to go on this. And he said, Tim, you're going to be the person coming to tell me about this conference, and I'm going to be the skeptical pastor, and you tell me what you're going to say back to me. I'll say, well, I don't want to be political. I stay away from politics. Tim, what do you say?
See, Pastor, this is something they say was a special opportunity that you actually get to meet with congressmen and senators and you can ask them questions. And so I don't think they're going to make you be political, but it's a really neat opportunity that they're only opening up, I think, just for a very small group of pastors. And you get to go on a tour of the Capitol that night with a very small group in these really special places and special rooms. And then you get to talk to senators and congressmen the next day. You get to meet some of them. So I don't think you have to be political, but I do think that this is a really neat opportunity that I would love to maybe even help sponsor you to go. I'd love to see you go, Pastor. I think it'd be really great for you to go.
Excellent answer. And you might point out and say, oh, Pastor, this is actually biblical. This isn't political at all. This is biblical. You're going to find out biblical source. You're going to find out scripture, how
yes.
It's portrayed in the Capitol building. Shockingly, scripture portrayed in the paintings, in the rotunda.
Well,
in the marble.
And Dr. Garlow, the reason I didn't mention that when I was persuading the skeptical pastor is because you don't have to convince your pastor of the biblical foundation of the nation or the connection of the Bible to current and cultural events. Because if they come to DC, when we go through the Capitol, we will help make those connections for them. When we talk about the statues of the John Peter Gabriel Muhlenbergs, when we start telling these stories, they're going to very clearly see unfolding before them the reality that the only reason this nation was formed is because there were Christians who knew what the Bible said and they were fighting to uphold the standards of the Bible. It was the influence of Christianity in the Bible, unquestionably beyond anything anything else that inspired and motivated the founders of this nation. And again, we will walk them through so many of these things, and we will leave open the opportunity for them to disagree. We'll talk about this. And Brother Garlow, I don't know if you remember, I was there that day when you brought that gentleman over who was very skeptical, very critical of what my dad was doing. I was actually one of the ones helping bring out the document. And along the way, when he had seen several of these, he said, "Well, I still don't like what you guys do." And I just chuckled to myself thinking that wasn't the point. You were saying we were making this up, and now you're saying we don't like, or you don't like what we do. Well, that's different. You can not like it, but you can't say we're making this up. And that is where these pastors will be challenged with, that you can say, "I don't want to do what the Bible says," but you can't really say the Bible doesn't encourage or challenge me to do this. Because when you start looking at very basic Bible thoughts, Jesus said that John 10, he's the good shepherd, that the sheep know his voice. And he talked about that there were hirelings. And what made the difference between a hireling and the shepherd was when a wolf came to take one of the sheep, the hireling would say, I don't want any trouble, I'm going the other way. But the shepherd would put himself between the sheep and the wolf to protect the sheep. And any pastor that does not see that there are wolves trying to consume sheep right now, I'm saying this with as much grace and love as I can. And Dr. Garlow, you can speak to this more, but if you're not willing to put yourself between your sheep and culture, I would question if you are a shepherd or you are a hireling, because when we're seeing, for example, 7, 8, 9-year-old boys that think they want to be a girl, and parents that are open and saying, "Hey, well, let's get you some gender modification surgeries. Let's get you some medication, some hormone therapy, some puberty blockers." And we have pastors who won't address that God made them in his image, male and female. You're not recognizing that the sheep are under attack by a wolf. So either you're really ignorant or you lack the courage to be the shepherd. And that's what a hireling was. They lacked the courage because it wasn't really their sheep. So they would throw down their staff and run away. We will encourage and challenge pastors in as much love and grace as possible. We're not always very as direct maybe as in some situations, but we're going to give them examples. And they're going to hear from these congressmen. They're going to hear from the senators who will very openly say, right, I used to lead a Sunday school class, and we were praying one day and felt God call us to do this. And if we just had more people up here who knew God, who loved America, who loved their families, who would uphold the Constitution, we could turn this whole thing around. We just need more people. If pastors hear these testimonies and they go back thinking, "Nope, I still don't want to do it. I don't want to be involved." Well, now we have a different problem. But if you're trying to encourage your pastor to come, you can just know that you don't have to convince them right up front. We can be strategic. We can tag team on this. We can work together. You don't have to right up front convince them that what we're asking them to do is the biblical position. Just say, "This is an incredible opportunity. We'd love to see you go. Whether the church funds it, we need to get some sponsors together. We can help get you there. We want to see you go." When they come, we will give them the walk through American history. We will show them the pastors, the leaders that were involved. When you look at the Declaration of Independence, for example, there was a historian from Duke University. Her name was Alice Baldwin. She wrote a book called The New England Clergy and the American Revolution. In that book, she identified every single issue in the Declaration had been preached from American pulpits prior to 1763, which was more than a dozen years before the Declaration was ever written. And what she concludes is that when the Declaration came together, it really was like a listing of pastor sermons. And well, where do these founding fathers get the ideas? It's what they had heard their pastors preaching the last couple of decades. So they come together and their minds have been so shaped and molded by the spiritual influences of spiritual leaders in their life. That's where the Declaration of Independence came from. And we can go through, again, all these historic documents showing that the reason America became America was because of pastors. The reason we've enjoyed stability, prosperity, freedom is because of pastors. And the reason we are losing it today, the Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We're losing freedom. We're losing stability. We're losing prosperity in America today because our foundation is being destroyed, but it's being destroyed because pastors are not standing up courageously and boldly in their pulpits, proclaiming the truth of God's word more than just Jesus loves us, which he does. Absolutely unequivocally, he does. But Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commands." So There's more to that process. In fact, Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. So there's even more to the process that we follow God's commands. We obey God's commands because that's part of how we show Jesus we love him. And then we make disciples of people. That is more than just introducing people to Jesus. It's teaching them how to live like Jesus and for Jesus. And when pastors make this connection, we will see a very different culture, very different communities, and we can see things turned around. That's our heart and our vision, and that's part of what we do in these pastors' briefings. So you don't have to convince your pastor to do the right thing all up front. We can be strategic, encourage them to come, and we will plant seeds that hopefully people will water, God will water, and we will see the fruit and increase come when they go back to their churches.
That is so well said, extremely well said. You've been given some incredible guidelines. That's wisdom right there. If they go, they will be profoundly impacted. As you can tell, we're not just merely promoting a tour right now. We're having a course on American spiritual heritage, American church history right now, Americans founding right now. And when we're talking about this, that's what he's covering. I'll be a little bit more direct on one issue that he talked about. If your pastor is not willing to talk about definition of marriage, homosexuality, abortion, transgenderism, folks, let me be candid. Get a new church. You can talk to him once or her. Talk to him the second time. Pray and fast. Get three friends to pray for 21 days on behalf of that pastor. And then if that does not change it, for the sake of your soul, mm-hmm. for the sake of your children, you must go to where the truth is taught. Some pastors are not going to be open. The good news is I think COVID jolted pastors when they saw the government closing their churches, that jolted pastors and made pastors a lot more aware that they need to stand. That particular friend that I took out to Aledo, he grumbled about, well, I don't like what you do. Well, we rode back in a car and I didn't want to ask him in front of other people. So I waited, I got to the hotel back in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I said, okay, where are you? Well, he couldn't refute anything he had heard, but he grumbled because he just didn't like it. That's a closed mind. It's really hard to deal with a closed mind. You're going to find that's not the norm on a pastor that goes on this trip. It is so impactful. So we just encourage you. What's the website again so they can go and sign up right now?
Wallbrothers.com. We have a category under churches. They click on churches. I think the very top thing under churches is our pastor's briefing. So we have categories on our website for education, for government, for the church, and so many resources under those. But under the church, this is one of the top things that's a resource for pastors.
Tim Barton, it's always a joy to talk with you. April 16, 17, wallbuilders.org.
.com.
.com. My goodness, you just said that, didn't you? Wallbuilders.com. And you go there and click on churches and get your pastor or the associate pastors, or if you can get a ministry leader in your community, help them put some people together and raise the funds if you need to get them there. And you will be thankful when they come home overflowing with all this information. I should know the answer to this question, but I don't. Is your heritage center, I'm calling it, more than a museum in Aledo, is that open to the public? Can the public come there?
That's a great question, and thank you for asking that. Yes, sir. So we have two museums. We have one on the west side of Fort Worth in Aledo, and then we have one closer to the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. It's in Las Colinas, kind of Irving area, and that's called the American Journey Experience. My dad and I help run that one as well, and so we have artifacts in both locations. Both are open to the public, but for both of them, we ask people to sign up online. There are specific times that we do tours at different locations, and mostly because we want to do very hands-on interactive tours. We have, for example, many muskets from the American Revolution and different weapons from different battles and eras in American history. And we have different books and artifacts and letters from presidents. And we want people actually to be able to hold those to experience history for themselves. Because of that, we don't just turn people loose through our library and our museums. We ask them to sign up, and then we have kind of some guidelines around it when they come and they wash their hands and they have to hold things a certain way or not a certain way. And so we have different leaders that will guide them through. Sometimes my dad and I are here. We love doing tours as well. But we have two facilities. One is on the west side of Fort Worth. That's Wallbuilders, wallbuilders.com. The other one is over by the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport in the Las Colinas Irving area, and that's the American Journey Experience. I think it's AmericanJourneyExperience.com or .org. That one I'm not sure about. We'll have to look up. But both of those our museums that are open. And the American Journey Experience is the one we partnered with Glenn Beck on. And so Glenn Beck has some of his artifacts, which are really impressive. That museum's a little bigger. The one on the west side of Fort Worth in Aledo has a few more documents. Well, actually a lot more documents, a lot more books and artifacts. But both of them are incredible. So if somebody's coming into town to have one of these tours, schedule and do both facilities, both museums. Definitely worth it. Different things in both places, but all of it incredible pieces of American history.
Yeah, I've been to both. And by all means, by the way, just on a personal note, you have some of my personal ancestral items in Aledo. Oh, is it right?
Ew.
There?
I have some stuff beside me. Yes. Actually in the next room, I do.
They collect Americana from old stuff. And I grew up in the rural areas and I went to a country church, a little tiny country church, and the pulpit, I think the church was built 1880, 1890, somewhere there. I can't remember right now what it was, but the old pulpit, that church, that tiny church inspired 39 pastors and pastors' wives came out of that church. I'm number 36 of that group, little tiny Morgan Chapel near Ames, Kansas, population 50. Well, 49, I'm here now. And so this little tiny church. And so you have that pulpit and you have a pew, I think, from there.
Dude,
and then you have the teacher's desk from the little country. I went to a little country school, District 6, Hillcrest School, half a mile from our farm. And the teacher's desk from my dad was born in 1915. And I think it was the teacher's desk from that era because it was in the desk all the way till the end. And then the desk I used to sit at. You have that. Am I correct on all this?
Yes. So some of those are both locations because also we got some pictures because the reason we wanted to preserve some of that is specifically the education stuff was from a one room schoolhouse. And so we walked through education and how education changed and when progressives took over and the whole philosophy, the whole pedagogy changed in education. But the things we got from you, that was a one room schoolhouse. And so we use those in a educational section, which I have some educational things behind me. But the desk that you gave us, that's over at the American Journey Experience. I'm in Aledo at Wall Builders, but we have stuff over there. So we have some of your things in both locations. And it's part of the incredible collection that God's allowed us to bring together. And yes, if people come, they definitely can see some of the things that Dr. Garlow, you donated to us.
My father, this is a little personal, but my father, who was born, as I said, in 1915, his favorite pastor when he was a young man, his granddaughter painted a country school and painted our little country church, watercolor paintings. And you have those very large paintings of that. So a little piece of my heritage is tucked away there. Man, we love you, Tim. It's so good having you on. Folks, April 16, 17, Tuesday, Wednesday, get your pastor or ministry leader. Go to wallbuilders.com. Go to the church section, sign them up. All you got to do is get them there and get their hotel room for one night. And then the rest is going to be covered. I've been on these tours. I know it firsthand. Let's get as many people as we can because they'll be profoundly impacted. And by the way, when they come away, the same thing that Tim said, they'll be shocked at how many members of Congress are godly. They don't realize this. They don't hear from them enough. We just did an event not long ago, National Gathering for Prayer and Repentance. Had a number of members of Congress praying prayers of repentance before a holy and righteous God. You'd be very encouraged if you knew how many of these really do have strong personal faith and live it out in Washington, D.C. Tim Barton, anything else I need to ask you?
No, sir. I sure appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, my friend. Blessings on you. You know, folks, we're going to go right to prayer right now. This has been a lighter, kind of more fun interview than we do. Oftentimes, the topics are very heavy, but the condition of our nation is very heavy. Back, Tim, I'm going to ask you to pray, be the first one to pray. We're going to go right into pray. Pray for our nation because we know we're in deep trouble right now. Tim, would you pray for America?
Yes, God, I thank you that you are the same God, the yesterday, today, forever. Jesus, we know you don't change. God, we know that you are faithful. As the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, that even if we are faithless, God, you remain faithful, for you cannot deny or disown yourself. God, we ask right now, in your faithfulness, that you would have grace and mercy in this nation. God, sometimes it feels a little bit like when Abraham was praying that you have mercy and not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. If there's only 50 righteous, only 40, only 30, well, God, certainly in this nation, there is a remnant that's preserved, that is on fire, that is fervent for you. And God, We know there's consequences for actions, but God, we also know that in your loving kindness and your faithfulness, your mercy, your grace, that you extend the opportunity for people to repent, to change. And God, we ask right now that you would stir up in this nation the heart of repentance. God, that people would recognize their sin, that Holy Spirit, you would convict us of sin, that we would confess our sins, we would turn away from our sins, God, knowing that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. God, we ask on behalf of this nation that you move in this nation. God, we know that we cannot stir up and bring in revival. God, it's the moving of your Spirit. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and you continue to move on the hearts and minds of people, that you would soften hearts, that you would open eyes, that you would open ears, that you would allow people to be receptive, God, to what you are doing. God, in this nation, continue to move in this nation. God, don't be done with America. We don't think you're done. We know you are still on the move. God, continue to raise up the remnant. Help those who are hearing your voice, who are walking in obedience, to continue to have the courage to do what you've called them to do. And God, continue to bring this awakening that we're already seeing, bring an awakening to America, that America would come back to you, that America would forever be changed. And God, that you would continue to use America to share the gospel around the world. God, continue to use America to be a beacon of hope and freedom around the world. God, bring help in this nation. We're crying out because we know, God, these are things that are far too big for us. But what's impossible for man is possible for you. God, we ask that you intervene on this nation. God, give us a second chance. And God, help us to repent and turn from these sinful ways. Help give us new leaders that know who you are. God, thank you for leaders like Mike Johnson, who knows who you are, who serves you. God, continue to surround Mike Johnson with godly leaders. Continue to fill Congress, to fill the House and the Senate with godly leaders. God, help us have a godly president over this nation once again. God, may your righteousness once again reign and prevail in this place. May your righteous policies again prevail over this nation. God, continue to move in this nation and use us in this nation. In Jesus' name, amen.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please read the show notes for additional details if you would like a copy of the book or resources mentioned. Remember that Well-Versed is a 501c3 tax-deductible nonprofit organization. We rely on your support and partnership.
Don't forget to hit subscribe to keep up to date with our latest episodes. Leave us a 5-star review and tell your friends to subscribe too.
Thank you for listening to the Well-Versed podcast. For more information, please go to www.wellversedworld.org.